So hi, I'm Jess, and welcome to another episode of Dose of Pharma. Today we are joined by Maddie and Lottie, who are both science communicators, and we'll be discussing what it's like to be a science communicator. To begin, Maddie, would you be able to tell us a bit about yourself?
100%. Yep. So as you said before, I'm a science communicator. I love telling stories and I also love science, and I didn't know that you can combine these two things until a couple of years ago. So I started out doing medical research, looking into cancer and the immune system and the interaction between them. And I realized that whilst I found research really fascinating, I was really bad at doing lab experiments and I hated kind of being there by myself. And I really loved going to conferences and talking about my research and presenting my findings and meeting colleagues. So eventually I realized that my thing was actually communication, and that's what I do now. So with me, I really enjoyed talking about what I was learning in class, but I found, similar to Maddie, that lab work wasn't exactly for me. And at the time, I didn't really know a lot about science communication, but just through talking to people around me about my passion in science and trying to tell them what I was learning, I kind of fell into the science communication path and learned more about it. And it's just been such an exciting, amazing path in science, because it's just so, you don't hear about it in school, but it is such a exciting path for people younger who want to be in science but might not have the skills suited for lab work.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a great option that a lot of people don't even consider or feel like unobtainable. So can you give a brief overview of what a career in science communication entails? Like, what do you have to do as a science communicator?
Well, so my immediate response to that is a very hard question to answer, because science communication is just this broad and ever-changing field, okay? So if you think about like a few decades ago, it didn't really exist. Like, science research was sort of sequestered in papers and conferences, and it was sort of this inaccessible realm for a lot of people. And then you started to see people writing books and articles, and some people on TV like Bill Nye, Dr. Carr we have in Australia. That's become a bigger thing, and there are programs on the ABC as well. And then in the last few years, social media has really changed the way that it runs, and now anyone can be a science communicator regardless of their background and their resources and who they know. And I guess that's sort of how we got into it. So it's a pretty broad thing, but I'd say fundamentally being a science communicator is someone who can sort of traverse both worlds. So understand the science, what it means, why it's important, and then be able to bring that up to a level that everyone can understand.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting because Maddie and I both deal with different audiences in SciComm. So Maddie's more with adults and students, and I'm more with kids. So I deal a lot with primary school children, high school children, and I think that the science communication is quite different, so which is good, because if you want to go into science communication, there's lots of different paths within that as well. But for me, I find that it's just getting people to trust the science, which is really important, especially in the world today. And I think you kind of do have an obligation as someone in science to make sure that you have the people around you able to understand what's going on, if they have questions, to answer it truthfully in a way that they'll understand, not with all these scientific, all these big scientific words that they might not know because they haven't learned it in university. So for me, it's just breaking things down to people who might not have had that educational background in science without skipping over any of those important points, and also allowing them to know that science, all science may come with some risk or these new medications, but it's still something that's trustworthy. So
Yeah, that's like a super important job to be able to do, because I definitely believe that everyone should access science and should be able to get that information and to understand it. Yeah, it must be really different trying to communicate to like children and a younger audience than it is to an older audience.
Yeah, 100%. I'm lucky. I think you're difficult. It's really difficult.
But it's like, it'd be different in other ways, because like you briefly mentioned, with people being concerned and not trusting science, I think kids are a bit more open to trusting that science than a lot of adults who have learnt different things or have their own opinions.
Yeah.
So they each must come with like their own challenges.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I learn a lot from hearing about what you do with the kids, and I think we can sort of teach each other things.
100%. Because I think I hear about science communication to adults with Maddie, and I don't know how I would feel doing that full time because I just have so much experience with kids. It'd just be such a big learning jump for me.
Likewise.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a bit about what attracts you to the career pathway. Would you be able to expand upon that? Like, why did you choose? Was it just like not enjoying the lab work, but why go into science communication as opposed to like regulatory affairs or something that also doesn't involve a heap of lab work?
I mean, there are lots of reasons why I love science communication, but probably the number one thing is interacting with people from all walks of life. People who haven't necessarily have a science degree and are still super interested and still really willing to learn and able to learn. I feel like through my social media stuff and through my writing, I get to interact with people in a really amazing way and people who I probably wouldn't have met if I was still in the lab. So that's probably it for me.
Yeah, I think for me, I just kind of found myself, like with my personality, I just wanted to tell everybody about what I was learning in class. And it's also a learning, it's like a technique for me to study when I was in undergrad. I just needed to tell someone what I was learning about to understand it better. And I found that it was really difficult because they don't understand all that fundamental science if they're not doing undergrad. So I just ended up doing science communication that way. And then I kind of fell into it because during COVID, I found all these science communication accounts or just people talking about their degree. And I thought I'd just start it and again, use it for my own study technique. And it just kind of morphed into science communication. And I realized I had a lot of people asking questions and they were adults and they were doing things like law or business and they weren't in science, but they just wanted to have those questions answered from someone they thought, you know, they felt that they could trust. So that's what I really like about science communication. You don't have to be in science to be passionate about science and understand what's going on in the world in science today. Yeah,
that's a great way to put it. I was like at the beautician yesterday and she loves to hear about whatever science I'm doing. It's great. And I use the word pipette and she's like, what's a pipette? And then trying to explain what a pipette was just to someone who had no idea.
Yeah.
It was definitely challenging, but it's like you don't realize how many of these terms are like kind of locked behind that doing science and that people without a science degree just don't know what they are.
That's right.
Yeah. So you guys have a background working in labs and haven't always been in science communication. So how do those previous jobs, how do they involve science communication and how does that differ from what you're doing now?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay, so during my research, there was a bit of science communication involved. There probably should have been more. And I will always say this to researchers that I work with now, get into it early and do science communication every day. It makes you a better scientist. Anyway, so when I was doing my master's, I wrote a thesis, and I guess you could say that's kind of science communication. It's pitched at people in your own field and kind of only maybe a few people read it. But I think we also had conferences every year that I would present at, and that was a little bit of science communication too. And a lot of the work that I presented at the conferences would be pitched at people in my own field, but we also had a competition where we had to present our thesis for a few minutes and, you know, to a lay audience, which I really enjoyed. And that is kind of what sparked this love for science communication. So the difference between that and what I do now, I think, is the level at which the communication is pitched. So when you're in research, you're generally talking to people who are in your field, super interested in what you're doing, know all of the jargon, know all of the terms and all of the background to everything. But now that I've been communicating with just anybody, like it's way harder actually, because I have to provide that context and I have to think, okay, what things do I have to include? What things should I leave out? and how do I make it interesting and fun for someone who this isn't their every day? So yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, for me, I worked in research within cerebral palsy, and we had a parents group, so for parents of children who had cerebral palsy, and I was part of like that science communication area where we tried to kind of give these parents an update on the new upcoming research, which is similar to, let's say, like science communication I might do online. But I found that the difference was that these parents already knew a lot of what was going on in the field, mm-hmm. and this was a lot of information about current management of someone who already has cerebral palsy. And I found that when I was presenting it, I had written it first as a very simplified version for anybody just coming in with no science knowledge, but they already knew so much that I was told to make it more complicated, more complex for them. So I would say the main difference for me is that I get to inform people before that kind of they're already in that pathway within cerebral palsy, let's say. So the child already has cerebral palsy, but I think that science communication now that I'm doing can be for people before they have cerebral palsy, and they're able to be informed prior, which I think is a lot more, like it's for a bigger audience and is more beneficial in a way. So that's what I would say was the main difference that I felt. And also there's more, you can really change up the language that you use when you're not in a very research kind of industry. Mm. So there's more like ability for you to be more casual and get more of a personal experience from each person.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more connection when you can like set aside that jargon and just talk like normal people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's a bit of like a challenging balance between you can't have a whole thesis because everyday person is not going to read that much. It's going to lose their attention, but having to still get like all the important points across and to get like the basis of that research, of that information, without like, yeah, losing any of it by condensing it right down and making it, yeah, understandable.
That's right.
For those interested in science communication, how did you guys get started in that line of work, and how could somebody else start pursuing a career in science communication?
I just feel like the future and like currently right now is online. And I just think that if you are thinking science communication, just make that account online on any social media platform you feel the most comfortable with. We both chose Instagram to start off with, but obviously TikTok's blowing up. And I think whatever you feel comfortable with, you just start it up. And everybody I know, some people I talk to are like, I don't want to start it because I don't want to get no likes and it's going to be embarrassing if people see it. But that's just the reality of starting.
Mm.
And you just want to have a platform that makes you feel good. And even if you just help one person, you know, understand a little bit more, that's already a bonus. So I think that just getting started, no matter what stage you are in science, is just like what I would say to do.
Mm. Yeah. No, I second that totally. So for me, as I mentioned before, my first foray into science communication was that thesis competition when I was studying, but it wasn't until a couple of years later, really, that I jumped in. And I started out with Instagram and also a little bit of science writing, just a blog that probably two people read, my mom and my grandma. But over time, it's grown. And I think that illustrates the democratic nature of social media and online platforms. Like literally anyone could create content. And if it's good stuff, and if you share it, and if you're consistent with it, it will reach the right people in the end. So for anyone who's interested in getting into science communication, I'd probably suggest doing that. Just get started making stuff. It will probably not be very good when you start, and then you'll just get better and better, and then opportunities will come from there.
Yeah, I suppose that's almost a good thing at the start if you don't have too many followers.
Yeah, delete them later. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I really like that point about like, even if it helps one person, it's been worth doing and it's beneficial, and it still really helps you develop your communication skills while benefiting a wider audience, which is fantastic. So do you guys have a favorite science communicator?
Oh, my goodness. I have so many. Dr. Marta Overchuk.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
She's amazing. Like, you just have to check her out. That's literally her Instagram handle. Her reels are amazing. I don't know how she has time for it, but they're beautifully illustrated, and I think it's the most engaging kind of reels. The only thing, though, is that I feel like a lot of her reels are kind of made, they're definitely more for adults, would you say? Mm-hmm. And definitely people who maybe have a little bit more science, of a science background compared to someone with just high school science, but still absolutely amazing. That's, she's my favorite.
If you will allow it, I'll give two.
Yeah,
so I have one sort of traditional science communicator and one more modern science communicator. Mm-hmm. So the first one and the traditional one is someone a lot of people would know, David Attenborough. I think I just have so much respect for that guy. He was the OG. And just the way that he talks about animals and ecology and gets people excited and interested. And that voice obviously is everything.
Of course.
Yeah, so very inspiring guy. And I think for me, the more modern one, do you know the Space Girl?
Yeah.
So she's fantastic. She makes a lot of fun videos on TikTok, Instagram, etc. And she talks about the aerospace stuff. Like, so not my niche at all, but I'm super fascinated by everything she puts out.
Can I just say, though, that just shows that you don't have to be, like, an expert in that area to understand it. Because, like you said, like, we're not in the aerospace or astronomy kind of world, but they just communicate it so well that we can follow along and learn new things. So
yeah, it's so good. Like, a good science communicator can really grab your attention about anything.
Yeah.
Like, Hank Green really got me into science back in high school, was watching stuff, and now he's pretty big on TikTok.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many really fascinating people out there in this field. Okay, so how can our listeners find you guys on social media and check out your content?
You go first.
Okay. Shameless plug time. So I'm Mads from Lab. So just all one word on Instagram and TikTok mainly. I have a little YouTube channel that I'm trying to build as well. I also have my website, Mads from Lab, where I publish articles and sort of writing about science, thoughts on lots of different topics. So yeah, that's how you find me.
I think we're similar in the sense that we've used the same handle for everything. So Science with Lottie, L-O-T-T-I-E, and on Instagram and TikTok. And I'm also trying to build up a YouTube, but it's very small. But that's also Science with Lottie. So that's basically it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, everyone should definitely go check you guys out and see your fantastic content. Yeah, thank you so much for answering all my questions today. It's
Thank
been
you for your time.
Really insightful and so interesting about a career that not much is known about. So thank you for that.
SOSA Pharma acknowledges the traditional custodians of the various lands throughout Australia on which we connect today and pays respect to elders past, present, and future.